Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Matthew chapter number 26, and I want to read one verse to you here in just a second, and then look at this here in Matthew chapter number 26 and what's going on. You that knows the Word of God knows that Jesus says in verse number 17 down through about verse number 30 has been at the Passover, and then in verse number 31 he picks up and of course he is preparing for the betrayal there in the garden, and he goes into Gethsemane and begins to pray there in the Garden of Gethsemane. If you found your place, let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. The Bible said this in verse number 38. Let's just pick up there for the sake of time. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Look at verse number 42. And he went away the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Look at verse 44. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Look back with me in verse number 39. The Bible said, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. I'm interested in one word in that verse today, and it's the word nevertheless. And with the help of the Lord, I want to preach on this thought, nevertheless, this morning. Father, I love you today. Lord, I appreciate everything that you've done for us at Amazing Grace. God, I stand amazed at how good you are to us. And God, I thank you for it this morning. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Father, as we preach today. I pray, God, that you'd get clear understanding from your word. I pray, God, that we preach nothing out of context. And, God, we say only the words, God, that you would bid us to say today. I pray, God, that you touch the need, Father, of every person sitting on the pews today. God, I'm going to attempt to preach one message. And, God, I need you to take it, Father, and preach 160 or 170 so each individual gets something out of it. God, if there's anybody here lost and on the road to hell, God, may this be the day that they get saved. God, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. Again, with the help of the Lord, I want to preach on that word, nevertheless, for just a little while today. I thought about this. Have you ever in your life committed to do something? Somebody asked you to do something and you said, hey, you know what? I'll do that. And you commit to that. And then, Brother Scotty, they'll go about their way and you'll go about your way. And you'll get home and you'll lay down in bed. And all of a sudden, that commitment comes back to your mind. And you think this, what was I thinking? Is anybody, now somebody help me this morning. Why did I commit to that? But you've already made a commitment to it, and my daddy raised me to be a man of my word, so that means, Brother Brian, I'm going to do it. And as the day comes closer and closer to you, you begin to get nervous about it. You may even begin to miss a meal about it. Your nerves are shot. You're ill, this is the way women are, not men, but you're ill towards your husband because of it and because you're nervous about it. Are you with me right there? Why? Because you have committed to something, and because we are flesh today, sometimes we get nervous as the day approaches. I think sometimes we have in our mind the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we forget about His humanity. Can I explain that? The deity of Jesus is simply this. He is God. He was the God-man. He was as much God as God is God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Jesus was God. But He also said in verse 14 of John 1, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Matter of fact, if we was to go to the book of Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 15, we find that the Bible says that we do not have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. You see, Jesus was God, but at the same time, Jesus was man. You see, Jesus was as much God as God is God, but Jesus was also as much man as man is man. Jesus is now beginning to approach a day in His earthly life that He is new about for eternity. Can I say that again? He's new about this day for eternity, because the Bible said this, that He was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Jesus knew in eternity past that a day was going to come that He was going to have to give His life willingly and die for the sins of the whole world. Yes, in His deity He knows that. But now in His flesh He is also praying, Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. Have you ever thought about the journeys of Christ? Have you ever thought about really all that the places that He had been? I thought about this. He come all the way from glory to Galilee by way of a virgin's womb, by way of Bethlehem, Egypt, Nazareth, by the way of a manger, by the way of a carpenter's bench. He came all the way from Galilee to Gethsemane, by the way of Jordan, by the way of Capernaum, by the way of many long miles as a man on many a mission of mercy and miracles. Now He would go from Gethsemane to a place called Golgotha, and from Golgotha to a place called the grave, and from a place called the grave back to a place called glory eventually. But before He gets back to glory, He has to go through Gabbath and Golgotha and face the cross. Now here He is, He's praying in Gethsemane. He's asked His disciples to pray with Him. As a matter of fact, it's Peter, James, and John, and we know that they were the inner circle, and they saw some things that none other saw, and Jesus takes them, and He begins to pray with them, and they go to sleep while He's praying. I mean, could you imagine go to sleep while Jesus is praying? Or on the mountain of transfiguration. But anyway, they go to sleep and Jesus comes back to them and says, man, you need to pray. And boy, old Peter did need to pray, because Peter was fixing to really mess up on the end of this. But they end up going back to sleep and Jesus goes back a third time. And He practically prays the same thing. Lord, if You'd let this cup pass from me, I'd appreciate it nevertheless. Not my will, but Thine be done. Nevertheless, number one this morning, let me show you three things about nevertheless. Number one this morning, I see the offense of sin. I see the offense of sin. Notice that Jesus prayed three different times that if God would let it, that He wanted this cup to pass from Him. You've heard me talk about this. You've heard me preach about this, son. But what really was the cup that Jesus is referring to? I read some things this week. Let me share some things with you. There are those who say that it was because for an hour at least, He became fearful of pain and death. But I disagree with that. I thought about this. Was Christ less courageous than many of his followers who were nailed to the crosses or fed to the lions or tortured at the rack or thrown into the vats of boiling oil? Both men and women have gone to the ghastly depths without a whimper. In many instances, indeed, singing the songs of their faith and their hope. I cannot for a minute believe that Jesus was any less heroic than any of those. I don't believe that he's afraid of death. I don't believe that he's afraid of the pain. Some say that his prayer to be separated, if possible, was due not to any fear of the approaching cross, but rather the fear that Satan would kill him before he got to the cross. Can I say something about that? I strongly disagree with that. I think Satan would have killed Christ back in Matthew chapter number 4 if Satan could have killed Christ. But here's the thing. Satan could not kill Christ. There was no man that could kill Christ because he had eternal life within himself. Christ would have to give up the ghost himself. So no, I don't think that it was a fear of Satan. So preacher, what was this cup? I really believe in all of my heart that this cup was the cup of sin. It was the cup of sin. Some say, well, it was the cup of being separated from his Father, and I understand that. Some say it's the cup of being scourged, and I understand that. But can I say this? All of that is a result of one thing, and that one thing is sin. You see, the Bible said this in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him," who? Jesus is the him, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." What was that cup that day when he said, "Nevertheless"? It was the cup of sin that day. You see, the spotless Lamb of God that never knew sin, that never committed sin, the spotless Lamb of God that had watched his Father's heart be broken in Genesis chapter number 3 when man sinned for the first time. Hey, no doubt about it, Jesus saw God the Father's heartbreak that day when he walked about in the cool of the day and wanted to fellowship with Adam and Eve, but he couldn't because of sin. He had saw the heartbreak of his Father. He had saw over and over and over and over countless times the animals that had died. Why? Because of sin. And now the spotless Lamb of God that knew no sin, that was in all points tempted like we was, yet without sin, what's going to become sin? The offense of sin this morning. And as he looks at the offense of sin, he says, "Nevertheless." He said, "Father, think about it this morning. If it means that I have to become sin so they can become your son, then that's what I'm willing to do." What was the cup? I believe in all of my heart, it was sin this morning. The offense of sin. Nevertheless, the offense of sin. Number two, watch this with me. I not only see the offense of sin, but I see the obedience of love in this. The obedience of love. The obedience of love. At no point in this testing hour was Christ's loyalty to the Father in question. No point in his earthly ministry, no point was his loyalty to the Father tested. Matter of fact, three times in our text, he says, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but thou wilt." He said this in John 4:34, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me." He said this in John 8:29, "I do always those things that please him." You see, Jesus had one goal in his life, and that goal was to be pleasing to his Father. A lot of times we get the misunderstanding of the purpose of Jesus coming to this earth. Jesus did not come to this earth to heal the sick. That was just a benefit of him being here. Jesus did not come to this earth to raise the dead. That was simply a benefit of him being here. Jesus did not come to make the lame to walk and the blind to see and the deaf to hear. That was just a benefit of him being here. You see, Jesus came for one reason and one reason only, and that was to go yonder to Calvary's hill and to lay his life down willingly and to die for your sins and for my sins. And he says, nevertheless, in an obedience of love. In an obedience of love. I read something this week and I found it very interesting. There are two kinds of loyalty to God. One is conditional, the other is unconditional. Listen to this. And I want you to think about this as I read it to you. In the first variety, the big word is if. If God gives me this job, if God gets me out of this tight place, everybody's still hearing the preacher, ain't you? If God heals my loved one, if God makes my life comfortable and happy, if I get the position at the church that I want, if the preacher talks to me every time I go in the church, if I can sing the song with the choir, if, put it crudely, if God comes through and does what I want him to do, I'll give him my faith and obedience. How many times have we heard that, Brother Stan? How many times have I stood at a hospital or at an emergency room or at someone's house and heard this statement, if God touches them, I'm going to live for him. What if God don't? What did Jesus say? Here's what he said. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, you see, there's two kinds of loyalty. One is conditional. The other is unconditional. Conditional is if. Unconditional is this. The other brand of loyalty is very different. It's a great word is not if, but nevertheless. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. I may never see another healthy day. Nevertheless, I may lose my position tomorrow. Nevertheless, I may be betrayed by my trusted friend. Nevertheless, everything may seem to go wrong at Gethsemane. But nevertheless, can I say something to you today? Nevertheless, if God, it's not if God does this. We must live with a mentality of nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. We may close the service out today and you vote me out as your pastor. With the grace of God, nevertheless, come tonight, my family will still be sitting on a church pew serving a holy God. Nevertheless, you know what? Something may happen to my parents traveling home from church today, but by the grace of God, may we say nevertheless, may we not live an if life, may we live a nevertheless life, may we live a nevertheless life. He's looking at Calvary. He's fixing to be separated from his Father. He's fixing to suffer immense pain like none of us has ever in our life even comprehended suffering. The sin of the world, it's not just placed upon him. He becomes the sin of the world. And you know what he says? I'm talking about the obedience of love, nevertheless. God, if there's any other way this can happen, I sure would appreciate it. Nevertheless, nevertheless, the obedience of love, the obedience of love. I thought about this. I was studying this week and I read back through something. Let me read it to you. Jesus was not angry about Calvary. Listen to what he said. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before me as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire of him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Listen to this. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. The obedience of love. The obedience of love. Nevertheless, can I ask you a question this morning? Can I ask you a question today? Let's just put it where the rubber meets the road. Man, Jesus is coming back. I believe that in all of my heart. If we've ever done anything for God, we better do it right now. We need to quit putting everything else in front of God. We need to lay excuses to the side. If we can go everywhere else, we can go to the house of God. Let's just put it all to the side for just a minute, and let's just put it where the rubber meets the road. What's it going to cause you to... What's it going to take to cause you to get out of church? There's going to be a nevertheless moment in your life. There's going to be, I am not going into it. We're live and everything else. But I'll never forget when we first came to this church. There's very few people knows what happened before we came here. And I'm going to tell you something. In my wife and I's life, it was a nevertheless moment. And if I'd have done what I wanted to do in my flesh, I'd be sitting at the house today. I'm just being honest with you. The meanest, cruelest people are religious people. I didn't say they were saved people. I said they was religious people. They're religious people. Meanest people. That's who crucified Christ was, a bunch of religious people. But we had to come to a place where we said never the obedience of love. When I look at what he done, the offense of sin that he was willing to take, nevertheless, the darkest day of my life could be today. It could be today. Me and Brother Rodney was talking last night, and he said this. He said, you know, it's amazing how one day can change everything. Brother Eddie went to the doctor, ended up at the hospital, ended up open heart surgery, and just to be honest, he's fighting for his life right now. One day, Miss Rhonda's husband David got up, went to work, and ended up in the emergency room unresponsive. I had a phone call this week from a buddy of mine. I wish you'd pray for him. I'm not going to call his name, but from a buddy of mine, he needs to get back in church. We talked about that, but here's what he said. He said, pray for me. He said, I just went to the doctor for a checkup, 45 years old. He said, I just went to the doctor for a checkup. He said, after the test, they found a mass in my colon. He said, I got to go Thursday to see the surgeon. He said, after that, I know I've got to have surgery. I don't know what it is. I don't know what. The darkest day could be the day. And we're going to say one of two things. If God brings me through this, I'm going to serve him. Or we're going to say nevertheless. Whether the sun ever shines again or not,
whether God heals my loved one or not. Whether I ever see him again this side of eternity or not. Nevertheless, with the help of God, son, I'm going to go on for him. Amen. Nevertheless, the obedient of love. I give you this in closing. I see number one, the offense of sin. Number two, the obedience of love. But I give you this in closing. The offering of life. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. What did that mean? Do you care to start playing softly? What did that mean? That meant simply this. Jesus was going to die. That's what that meant. When he said, nevertheless, he was already obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We understand that. I know that, but let's think about his humanity for just a minute. When he said, nevertheless, Brother Josh, you know what he was saying? He was saying, I offer my life. I'm offering my life to the Father. If we live a nevertheless life, then we live a life dead to the flesh. We live a life, Brother Scotty, dead to the flesh. Dead, you know what he was saying right there, Brother Josh? My feelings really don't matter. We have a society today that has more feelings than any society that I believe it's ever been in the history of mankind. Everybody's getting their feelings hurt about something. I tell my girls every once in a while, suck it up. It ain't all about you. It ain't about what's best for you all the time. Amen, Brother Jonathan. Suck it up. Man, I'm telling you. Well, you know what? You know what? I would do this, Miss Shannon, but 22 years ago, somebody hurt my feelings. Well, you know what? Yesterday, I went to Cracker Barrel. And they brought my food out and my taters. And you that knows me knows I like taters. My mashed taters was colder than a mother-in-law's kiss. And my fried okra had just come out of the freezer, I believe. It wasn't fresh breaded. It just come out of the freezer, I believe. My pintos was hot. But that was about 7 days old. Somebody say amen right there. If you know what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying. And the only thing fresh on my plate was the French fries. Thank God for French fries. You say, did you really get mashed taters and French fries? I really got mashed taters and French fries. Yeah, it was fresh, and the coffee was fresh. As long as I got fresh coffee and fresh French fries, we're going to be all right. I didn't say one word to them. I eat some of it, drunk my coffee with my family. We got up and left, come back down the road. But you know what? Here in a few weeks, I'm sure that I'll be on the road again. And we always go by Cracker Barrel because Leslie's mom and daddy has given us just about an endless supply of Cracker Barrel gift certificates. I don't know how many we've got. Thank God for mother-in-laws. She'll watch this after a while. I'm making up for what I said a while ago. And you know what I'll do, Brother Josh? I'll pull up in another Cracker Barrel. I'll park. I'll go in there. After tomorrow, I'll get some meat with them vegetables. Y'all that knows what I'm talking about knows what I'm talking about, Brother Josh. I'll get some, praise God, some ham with them vegetables. And I'll eat again. But when it comes to church, when it comes to church, Miss Christy, boy, we get the least little thing crossed up. And well, they hurt my feelings down there. And here's what we do. We judge every church in the world off of one bad one. I'm where I pastor. I can say what I want to right now. We judge every pastor in the world off of one bad pastor. We judge every youth worker in the world off of one bad youth worker. But let them forget to put the Oreos in your bag at Walmart and you'll not boycott Walmart. Somebody holler amen. Here's what we must come to if we live a nevertheless life. We must die to ourselves. It's not about my feelings. It's not about how I think. It's not about if I'm happy in my life. It's about pleasing the God of the universe and the creator of my soul. It's about pleasing Jesus, who is willing to give his life so I can live. That's what it's about today. It's not about us. It's about us. Here it is, presenting our bodies a living sacrifice unto God. It's about him. He was obedient, nevertheless, as a life of offering our life. Here's what it said. He picked up in verse number 10 of Isaiah 53. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. Thou shalt make his soul an offering of sin. He goes on to say, when you get down to verse number 12, listen to the way he says it in verse number 12. Listen to verse number 11. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquity. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, listen, and made intercession for the transgressors. The reason we can talk to God today is because Jesus lived a nevertheless life and was willing to be an offering for the sin of all the world. He offered his life. I ask you this in closing this morning. Are we living a nevertheless life? We've all got cups. We've all got things that we wish God would take away. But we cannot pray and say, Lord, if you'll give KK her hearing and let her be able to speak to us and calm the things that's wrong in her life, then we'll serve you. Now, Brother Josh, we must pray, and I know you pray this, nevertheless. You see, because there will come a day that he will heal her issues that she has, and we will hear her speak, and she will hear us, and we will correspond together, and we'll dance around all over God's glory land together one day. But until then, nevertheless, I'm just going to serve the Lord. Nevertheless, maybe nobody else needs it, but I just need every once in a while to be reminded of nevertheless. Everything's good right now. But you know what? In just one phone call, my life could be turned inside out. But Brother Gray, by the grace of God, I want to be able to say nevertheless. Nevertheless. Lord, I don't understand it. But nevertheless, I'm going to die to my feelings because of the love that I have for you. Because there was a day 2,000 years ago you gave yourself so I could live. nevertheless. Father.